Quieting him with a word of command and a caress, I looked hurriedly through the approaching gloom for a sign of Dasia Thoris, and then, not seeing her, I called her name. There was an answering murmur from the far corner of the apartment, and with a couple of quick strides, I was standing beside her where she crouched among the furs and silks upon an ancient carved wooden seat. As I waited, she rose to her full height, and looking me straight in the eye, said, "What would Dota Soja Thak of Dasia Thoris, his captive?" "Dasia Thoris, I do not know how I have angered you. It was furthest from my desire to hurt or offend you, whom I had hoped to protect and comfort. Have none of me, if it is your will, but that you must aid me in effecting your escape, if such a thing be possible, is not my request, but my command. When you are safe once more at your father's court, you may do with me as you please, but from now on until that day, I am your master, and you must obey and aid me." She looked at me long and earnestly, and I thought that she was softening toward me.
"I understand your words, Dota Sojat," she replied, "but you I do not understand. You are a queer mixture of child and man, of brute and noble. I only wish that I might read your heart."
"Look down at your feet, Dasia Thoris. It lies there now where it has lain since that other night at Korad, and where it will ever lie beating alone for you until death stills it forever." She took a little step toward me, her beautiful hands outstretched in a strange groping gesture.
"What do you mean, John Carter?" she whispered. "What are you saying to me?"
"I am saying what I had promised myself that I would not say to you, at least until you were no longer a captive among the green men. What from your attitude toward me for the past 20 days, I had thought never to say to you. I am saying, Dasia Thoris, that I am yours, body and soul, to serve you, to fight for you, and to die for you. Only one thing I ask of you in return, and that is that you make no sign, either of condemnation or of approbation of my words, until you are safe among your own people, and that whatever sentiments you harbor toward me, they be not influenced or colored by gratitude. Whatever I may do to serve you will be prompted solely from selfish motives, since it gives me more pleasure to serve you than not."
"I will respect your wishes, John Carter, because I understand the motives which prompt them, and I accept your service no more willingly than I bow to your authority. Your word shall be my law. I have twice wronged you in my thoughts, and again I ask your forgiveness."